Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah! Lift up your hands unto the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. More than my mind can comprehend. See, I've seen the wonders of your grace. I'm so sure that this is not the end. Sing it again, more than my mouth. More than my mouth can testify, more than my mind can comprehend, more than my mind can comprehend. See, I've seen the wonders of your grace. I'm so sure that this is not me. Sing with me, Eze Ebube. Eze Ebube. See how far you brought me. Eze Ebube. I'm so glad you found me worthy. I can tell. And I know it's your grace. All my days I will sing. See how far you brought me. see, I can tell, and I know it's your grace. All my days I will see the glory.
My heart is full of gratitude.
My heart is full of gratitude
to you and no one else.
To you and no one else but you.
Lord, I'm here.
Lord, I'm here. Only by your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for not giving up.
Exalt you. Thank you, Jesus, for how far your grace has brought us. Thank you for your grace that found us, your grace that sustained us, your grace that has made us everything that we are. Thank you, Father, that today we've come to receive more of your grace. And now I pray at this time that as your word is ministered this morning, I pray that your presence will be felt powerfully amongst your people, that your Holy Spirit will do what only He can do to quicken the word and make it alive to us this morning. I thank you for everyone physically present here, and thank you for everyone online watching us at this time. I thank you in the name of Jesus that you will visit each and every one of us. Thank you, Father, that our frustrations will be lifted. And thank you, Father, that the breakthroughs we desire will be released into our lives. Amen. Thank you for the faith that you're stirring up in our hearts right now. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody shout aloud, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. God bless you, and you may be seated. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. Great. This morning, I want to bring to a conclusion the series I started on how to experience a turnaround in our lives. This is the fourth part of the series. And throughout the series, I've tried to make us understand that there's a certain kind of life that God wants us to
experience.
Jesus has not come into your life to mess you up. Jesus has not come into our lives to reduce us. His purpose and intention for us is that we will have a fulfilled life. That we will have a rich and satisfying life. And Jesus died so that our lives will be made beautiful. So if we take stock of our lives and we realize that our lives are a far cry from what the Bible describes, then it should be obvious to us that we need a turn around in our lives. Can I have an amen from somebody?
Amen.
A turn around is a turn about. And is a change in direction. And if you look at the different areas of your life, and it is clear to you that what you are seeing is not what God intends for you. And usually the good things you desire for yourself are often the good things that God desires for you. And God wants to grant to us the desires of our hearts. So if you take stock of your life and you realize that no, something is not working. I am not where I'm supposed to be. If you look into your life and you realize that the frustrations are too many, the disappointments are a lot, the trying and things are not working, there is too much of that with my life. My business is not working. My work is not progressing. My finances are in a bad shape. I am not as spiritual as I know I should be. I don't know God as deeply as I'm supposed to. My marriage, my relationships are not working. When you look into your life and you see all of these things, there is only one conclusion you must arrive at. That as a matter of urgency, I need a turnabout in my life. And I need a turnaround in my life.
Amen.
But how can we experience that? I've shared a few things with you. You can also describe them as keys to experiencing a turn around in our lives. And if you look through your notes, you discover that the very first one I shared with you is you must apply the key of honest self-assessment and honest self-judgment. And in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5, the Bible says that test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith.
Now, another
version would say, put yourselves to the test. And then it says, judge yourself. So we are being called upon to do self-examination and do self-judgment. I have explained to you, my friends, that often in this life, it is easier to focus the searchlight on others. But it is not easy to do same for ourselves. It's easier to test others. It is easier to judge others. And a common phenomenon we see in this life, it's a phenomenon of people blaming others for whatever predicament they find themselves. And all of us are guilty of this in one way or the other. Because it is something that came with the fall of man. That whenever there is a challenge in your life, you are quick to say that it is because of this person. It is because of this situation. It is because of this problem. So if you look at yourself, within 4 months you have changed 5 jobs. When we ask you about it, your answer is that it's my boss. That the bosses that I have, they are not good bosses. So it's the fault of your bosses, is that not so? But it hasn't ever occurred to you that there is something about me that doesn't make me sustain jobs that I get. That I have horrible working ethics. That is why nobody is able to work with me. Can I have an amen from somebody?
Amen.
You need to get to that point and say that no. Something is not okay with me. Don't keep talking about something is not okay with somebody else. Let's stop this blame game in this life. Many church members are not in church today. But the lizard came to church. Somebody say, God bless you, lizard. And God bless you, absentee church members. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm saying something very important to you. In fact, if you can get just this first point alone, there will be a significant change in your life. And you need to realize that you cannot keep blaming others all the time. You have been in 7 different relationships. 7. And none has worked. When we ask you, you said the people who came into my life, they are sankwas. That I don't know what is wrong with me. That I'm always getting these funny characters in my life. But actually, that statement that you made is a revelation. You said, I don't know what is wrong with me. That I'm always getting these funny people into my life. You have hit the nail right on the head. That it is because there is something wrong with you. It cannot be that there's something wrong with everybody else. And what we need is honest self-assessment. And honest self-judgment. Once we do that,
yes, sir,
we will be on our way to experiencing a turn around in our lives. Can I have an amen from somebody?
Amen.
The second key that I shared with you is that you must develop a strong desire and willingness for things to get better. You must develop a strong desire and willingness for things to get better. You must understand about the God we serve, that His provisions in our lives are connected to our desires. And He will meet your needs based on your desires. If you don't have certain desires, God is not likely to force certain things on you. Even salvation, He doesn't force it on anybody. He doesn't. It's your choice whether you want to receive Jesus or not.
So before Jesus and answer debut,
it's a good thing to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. But God never imposes Himself on us. Because one of the profound gifts that He's given to us is the gift of choice.
If you say achedi baako asumbu enyamede mine say achedi a wode beyidia wo
and the gift of self will.
And he said, "Why would they whoop be
a He did not create us as robots. And he gave us the power of choice. So he never forces himself on you. And that is why when you find yourself in a system where there's a lot of manipulation and control, it should occur to you that there's something wrong here. Because God created us as free beings with the power of choice. One day Joshua said to the people of Israel, choose ye this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Moses also in his last speech to the people of Israel, he said,
Israel,
today I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you'll be blessed, you and your household. What am I saying to you? That God will never force certain things on you. And it's important for you to have certain important desires for your life. If you discover that your life is not playing out well, and if you realize that certain things are not working for you, don't just accept things as they are. Don't draw that conclusion that this is my destiny. Don't say to yourself that my head is not good. Don't say to yourself that it cannot get better. No matter how dismal things look, there is a need for you to maintain a desire for things to get better. And a certain willingness that I want to do what I can, so help me God, for things to work better in my life. And God needs that to change things around for you. May we not behave like the people of Israel who at the rivers of Babylon, they sat there and said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?
Babylon,
the Bible says they sat there and they wept when they remembered Zion. I'm saying to you again that the tears are too much now. You have cried enough. It is time to accept that God wants something far better for my life than what I'm seeing currently. And it's time to stir up your desire and willingness to experience a significant change in your life. No matter how low you have sunk, there is still hope for you. The Bible says that there is hope for a dying tree at the scent of water. And today I declare to you that the Jesus who is the restorer of life,
Jesus,
is looking for you to desire and to have a willingness for things to change in your life. Once He sees that, then He can step in and begin to turn things around for the better for you. May you experience that turnaround in your life in the name of Jesus.
The third key that I shared with you is that you must have faith that things can change for the better. Have faith that things can change for the better. Tell the person sitting by you, have faith. Have faith. Don't lose your faith. Don't lose your hope. Because your faith, ladies and gentlemen, is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is a certain assurance and confidence that things are going to get better. Your present circumstances and what you see around you may be saying something different. But faith is when you look at the situation you are in and tell yourself that it's going to get better. You look at your circumstances and you say, it looks very bad today, but I know that my tomorrow will be better. You look around you and see people who seem to be progressing in life, and faith will make you tell yourself that my time will come. And I'm telling somebody this morning that your time indeed will come.
Amen.
I said your time will come.
Amen.
God makes things beautiful in His time. It's not about your time. It's not about the time. It is about God's time. And you got to have faith that there's a certain timetable that God is working with where your life is concerned. One of my favorite phrases in the Bible, in fact, there are two of them. One of them is that in the fullness of time. That expression, in the fullness of time. Then another phrase that I like, and it came to pass. Never lose sight of these two phrases. In the fullness of time. And it came to pass. A time is coming in your life where you will realize that the fullness of time has come for you. A time will come in your life when you also will stand and declare, it has come to pass.
Amen.
It has come to pass.
Amen.
My marriage has come to
Amen.
Pass. My child has come to pass.
Amen.
My breakthrough has come to pass.
Amen.
My healing has come to pass.
Amen.
My deliverance has come to
Amen.
Pass. My transformation has come to
Amen.
Pass. My restoration has come to pass.
Amen.
That will be the story of your life.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Clap your hands and Thanks. Celebrate Jesus. And that's why you have to learn to speak positively. Learn how to make faith confessions. Because there's too much negativity associated with you. Every time you are lamenting, I suppose that your best book in the Bible is the book of Lamentations. If it is not, it should be. Because that describes you perfectly well. Always lamenting. Always whining. Always groaning. Always complaining. Always memory. Negative thinking. Negative talk. One of the ways you can see faith is from what you say. And I want to say to you, be careful what you say in your mouth, eh? With your mouth, be very, very careful. Even if things are very bad for you, control what you say.
I'm
telling you something. Don't push yourself deeper into a hole of depression by the things that you say. Learn to acknowledge certain things in your life. but as you acknowledge them. Because faith is not ignoring certain realities that you are facing. But faith is to recognize the difficulties. And then say to yourself that it's not going to remain like this forever. And say to yourself that it's going to get better. And say to yourself that my life is going to improve. And it's taking time, I know. But don't change your faith talk. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:13 that we also, having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. We believe and therefore we speak. So you must speak what you believe. And what you believe is what you have faith
for.
So learn to talk faith talk. Learn to say the right things with faith, with your mouth. And never forget that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat of the fruit
thereof.
Can I have an amen from somebody?
Amen.
So have faith that things are going to change for the better. Amen.
Amen.
Number four, trust in God. Trust in God. Trust in God. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:5-8 that cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans. New Living Translation. Who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. The Bible reveals a curse on those who put their trust in men. So don't put your trust in men. Don't put your trust in yourself. Don't put your trust in your own abilities. In your own strength. In your own skills. Don't fall into that temptation of trusting in yourself and trusting in men. If you want to experience a turnaround in your life, then place your trust in God. And why must you place your trust in Him? For as the Bible says in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Lift up your right hand with me. Say with God. Say it again, with God. One more time, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And so I will put my trust not in men, not in my father, not in my mother, not in my boss, not in my husband, not in my wife, not in my uncle, not even in my pastor. I choose to place my trust in God, and He will come through for me. If you truly believe that, clap them hands together and give praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Number five, if you want to experience a turnaround in your life, you must be humble. You must be humble. James 4:6. And He gives grace generously. As the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Who does God give grace to? I didn't hear you. Who? The humble. In other words, God helps humble people. James 4:10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. How many of you are believing God to lift you up and to bring you to a place of honor, a place of dignity, a place of abundance? Then the key, my friend, is humble yourself. Hallelujah. To humble yourself is to have a modest opinion of yourself. Or you have a modest estimate of your own importance, rank, abilities, and position. So you don't see yourself more highly than you ought to. And if you want to experience a turnaround in your life, there is a great need to humble yourself. When you are humble, ladies and gentlemen, you can be spoken to. When you are humble, you can be advised. When you are humble, you can be directed. When you get to a point in your life that nobody can speak to you anymore. When you get to a point in your life, nobody can advise you. Everybody is giving you the same advice, but you are stubbornly deciding that what I have decided to do, that's what I will do. It shows that you are not humble. And it shows that arrogance and pride is what your problem is. When you are humble, things can be pointed out to you, and you can see, and you can react and respond to it. When you are humble, you can actually be corrected. Things can be said to you and you'll not get angry about it. You can be advised. Your husband can advise you. Your wife can advise you. Your friends can advise you. What is it about you that no matter who is speaking to you, you don't want to listen? Everybody in your family is against you. And you can't see that there is something intrinsically wrong with me. You can't see it. You cannot be advised. You cannot be corrected.
This morning, something interesting happened. I got a message from one of my pastors to tell me that he cannot be in church today. And he said in the message that I'm going somewhere. He's watching me and laughing. He said, I'm going somewhere. But I'll make sure that the people come to church. And I sent a message back to him. It is not enough to say that I'm going somewhere. Where are you going? And I said to him that as a pastor, you are supposed to be in church on Sunday. And then I asked him, if you are the one preaching, would you say that you are going somewhere so you cannot come to church? You are organizing your people to come to church and you are going somewhere. A few minutes after I sent that message to him, I got a call from him. He said, Pastor, I am coming to church. There was no argument. There was no ball. Somebody else would have been angry. That you know my situation. You know that I'm hustling. I have an opportunity to go and meet somebody who is going to give me a job. And you pastors, you are the enemies of our progress. Instead of blessing me and releasing me to go for that meeting, you are sending me such messages to make me feel bad. I won't come here. That was not his response. He said, I am coming. And I was so happy.
He said to me that when I read your message, immediately I decided that I'm coming. Do you know what that reveals? It reveals humility. And people who are like that, they will always be lifted up. As you humble yourself, may God lift you up. May God set you on high. May God cause you to walk among kings and princes in the name of Jesus. And I prophesy into that pastor's life that whatever opportunity you missed because you decided that rather than go chasing it, I'm coming to church, may God open a bigger door to you. Receive it in the name of Jesus. You are not that pastor, but you can receive it also. There's nothing wrong with it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Give Jesus a big hand clap. Number six. In order to experience a turnaround in your life, in order for us to experience a turnaround in our lives, we must learn to make midstream corrections. We must make midstream corrections. Midstream correction is a correction that you make in the middle of your journey somewhere. And you make that midstream correction because you realize that where I'm going is not good. So you take major decisions for your life and you effect midstream corrections so that you will experience a turnaround in your life. Luke chapter 15 verse 17 to 19. Luke 15, 17 to 19. The Bible says, and this is the story of the prodigal son. And the Bible says of him, when he finally came to his senses, I speak to somebody today,
Jesus,
that from today you are coming back to your senses.
Amen.
I said, from today, you are coming back to
your senses. Amen.
Lift up your hand and say, Father, deliver me from my foolishness. Deliver me from my stupidity. Deliver me from my wrong moves. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father. The King James says, I will arise. I will go home to my father and say, Papi, I have sinned against both heaven and you. And I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. Now, you may think what you like about this boy, but there is something positive about him. He had sense enough to make a midstream correction. And he made that correction because he looked at where his life was headed. You see, when he told his father that, give me my portion of the inheritance, and the father granted him his request, the Bible says he made his journey into a far country. He traveled very far. Why did he go so far? He didn't want anybody to come and advise him. He didn't want anybody to find him. He wanted to have the liberty to do what he wanted to do. And he wanted to blow time without any interference. So he traveled to a far country. When he realized that he had made a mistake, he could have decided that let me just stay here and take things as they are. He could have told himself that I deserve what is happening to me. God is punishing me, so let me just stay here. Let me stay with the pigs and let's keep fighting every morning over their food. What nice food do pigs eat? Is there anybody who has been into pig farming before? Is there anybody who has Esther, is it true?
Esther,
hey, pig farming. There is no shame. There is nothing to be ashamed of. What sort of food were you giving? Did you know? You didn't know that the woman that you are married to has taken care of pigs before. Wow. What sort of food do you give to the pigs? Cassava peels.
Banchura.
And leftover food.
Fufu adi achi sonumusa.
Yes.
Oh, and one here more.
And what? Rotten watermelon.
Watermelon.
Fufu that is spoiled.
Leftover.
Banku rice.
Enkwaya.
Yam.
Enkwaya asay.
And you see, pigs are ampu chichi.
No.
It means omunchi bibia. Anything you give them.
Obedi.
They will eat. Now, can you imagine that a human being is engaged in fisticuffs with pigs? That was the life that this boy was reduced to.
He'll
see something, and as he's jumping for it, the pig will say,
"Whoa!"
And every day, the pigs used to insult him.
Because
I'm penny. Uncompare with size. Uncompare the Pape BNG. Is it me that you are coming to struggle with over this cassava peels? Have you been hungry before? Is there anybody who has been hungry before? Even the worst thing looks like the best food in the world. I'm telling you. This boy had sense enough to recognize that I can't stay here. I must make a midstream correction. And he told himself that it's very difficult for me to go back. But when I compare how my life is now to what it could have been, when I think about the better conditions of the hired servants in my father's house, and I am a son, and look at my condition now, look at me now, my clothes are torn apart, I haven't pasted in days. When I say, people are fainting, no, I'm going back. My hair is overgrown, my beard is like a suicide bomber, somebody who is about to be sent on a suicide mission. No, there's something better for me. I came far, but I'm going back. I am effecting a midstream correction now, and I'm going back to my father. I'm humbling myself, and I'm going back to him to tell him, Daddy, I missed it, and I'm coming back. So that's what he did, midstream correction. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Midstream, that how low you have sunk. Midstream corrections. That's what we are doing now. It took him too long, but at least we've done a midstream correction, changing the microphone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. No matter how low you've sunk, you can do a turn around. You can do a turn about. Ignore what people are saying. Ignore the comments that they are passing. The Bible says wisdom is justified of her children. At the end of the day, it will be clear that the step you took was the wisest thing you could have done. Which brings us to the seventh key, which is that you must seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. If you want to experience a turnaround in your life, seek wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7-9. It says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will place a lovely wreath on your head. She will present you with a beautiful crown. This year, by the grace of God,
Jesus,
may God make you great.
Amen.
This year, by the grace of God,
Jesus,
may God honor you.
Amen.
This year, by the grace of God,
Jesus,
may God crown you victor.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
But there's something that will cause you to experience all
these.
It's called wisdom. So the Bible says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 12. Wisdom and money can get you almost anything, but only wisdom can save your life. Only wisdom can do what?
Save your life.
Save your life. And if there's something we need, something that we should be praying for, something that should be a prayer request all the time, it should be for wisdom. Wisdom. The Bible says in James 1:5 that if we lack wisdom, we should ask God, who gives liberally and upbraideth not, and he will give it to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge, understanding, experience, common sense, and insight. That's what wisdom is. So you can have knowledge, understanding, insight. But there's a certain power and ability that you need to be able to apply these things. And that ability is what we call wisdom. If you want to experience a turnaround in our lives, then you need wisdom. You need wisdom for your business. You need wisdom for your marriage. You need wisdom for your finances. You need wisdom to know how to deal with things. Wisdom will show you how to deal with different situations. Wisdom will show you how to deal with the challenges that confront you. Wisdom will show you when to talk. Wisdom will show you when to keep quiet. Because there's a time to talk, and there's a time to keep quiet. One of the mistakes that people make all the time is that when you are not talking, it means you are a fool. It means that you are not wise. It means that you are an idiot. But what people don't realize, that often it's a great sign of wisdom when you decide not to react to certain things. Wisdom will show you that don't fight this. Sometimes you'll be pushed and provoked to react in a certain way. Sometimes you hear so much rubbish and nonsense, and you want to flex, and and showed that you also have some small madness hiding somewhere. Do you know that all of us have some small madness? Yeah. Is that some people have learned how to suppress this? And others, when they kick, no, they manifest. Ask your neighbor, are you a kicker? It's a sign of foolishness when you just react to things. And you always act impulsively. Wisdom shows how to respond to certain things and when to leave things alone. There's a time to fight, there's a time for war, but there's a time for peace. And often you need to ask God, what time am I in? Is it a time to fight? Is it a time to fight? Or is it a time to leave things? And sometimes that's our struggle, to be able to tell the difference between the two. But there's a time to just be still. Don't mind what anybody thinks. Don't mind what anybody is saying. Keep your focus. Focus on what God is saying to you. And wisely keep in your space. And at the right time, it will be clear who is right and who is wrong. It will be clear who is wise and who is foolish. It will be clear who has good judgment and who is exhibiting foolishness. If you want to experience a turnaround in your life, you need wisdom. I see God filling you with wisdom from today in the name of Jesus. Let's end it. The next key, you must seek help from above. Seek help from where? From above. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 26-27. One day, as the king of Israel was walking along the wall of the city, a woman called to him, "Please help me, my lord the king." Even before asking her what the problem was, the king answered, "If the Lord doesn't help you, what can I do?" Now, all of us need to get to this recognition that if God doesn't help you, nobody can help you. You can't even help yourself. You can't. And that's why you must learn to always look for help from God. Everybody needs help of one kind or the other. But I'm telling you that the help you should seek the most is help from above. And understand that you are as great as the help you receive. When you receive great help, you'll be set up for great things. But if you don't get the help that you need, things will just go haywire in your life. But the help we must seek in this life is help from above. So I say to somebody today, Jesus, lift up your eyes onto the hills from whence your help comes. Your help will come from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. So turn to him for help. He will not disappoint you. He will not let you fall. Number 9, perseverance. Taking a bit more of your time, forgive me. Philippians 3:13-14. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on. That means I persevere to reach my goal, to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. If you want to experience a turnaround in your life, don't be a quitter. Don't be somebody who retreats and surrenders. Persevere. Persevere. The obstacles are a lot. The mountains in front of you are huge. The problems are gargantuan. The issues are humongous. But whatever it is that you are facing, persevere. Press on. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't call it quits. That business will experience a turnaround.
Amen.
That job will become more stable.
Amen.
That marriage will become nicer.
Amen.
The blessings will be established in
Amen.
Your life. Don't give up. Persevere. And finally, patience. Hebrews 6 verse 12. That you do not become sluggish. Hebrews 6
12.
That you do not become sluggish. But imitate those who through faith and patience.
That
is the New Living Translation, please. Hebrews 6:12. Okay, I think it's another version. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience. That's the New King James Version. Those who through faith and what? Patience. Inherit the promises. If you're going to experience a turnaround in your life, you got to be patient. You have to be patient with God. And you know what? You got to be patient with yourself. Those who inherit the promises, those who make it, those who flourish, and those who do well, they've learned to be patient. And you need that also. A lot of things don't change for the better in an instant. In the twinkle of an eye. It doesn't happen like that. Certain things take time. And you got to be patient. You got to be what?
Patient.
Patient. So wherever you are in life, recognize that you need the key of patience if you're going to experience a turnaround. And I prophesy into your life,
Jesus,
there will be a turnaround.
Amen.
There will be a turnaround.
Amen.
Your season for a turnaround is coming.
Amen.
Your season for things becoming better for you is coming.
Amen.
The season when your conditions of living will be better is coming.
Amen.
The season when the joy and the peace that has eluded you will be revealed in your life, that season is coming.
Amen.
The season where your problems will become a thing of the past, that season is coming.
Amen.
The season when you don't have to cry anymore, that season is coming.
Amen.
I declare to somebody today,
Jesus,
you will experience a turnaround in your life.
Amen.
And may God glorify himself in your life.
Amen.
May God change the song you've been singing.
Amen.
May he put a new song in your mouth.
Amen.
A song of victory.
Amen.
A song of joy.
Amen.
A song of jubilation.
Amen.
A song of triumph.
Amen.
The sorrowful songs will change into songs of victory.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Clap your hands unto the Lord. Rise to your feet, my friends, and let us close. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the assurance we've received that things can actually turn around for the better in our lives. And I pray for all of us that in any area of our lives where there's a need for a turnaround, may these keys that we have received empower us to experience this change that we so desire. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, may we not stay in any hole that we may have fallen in forever. But as we look to you, as we seek for help from above, may we reach out and hold that rope that you have lowered down to us. And as you pull us out, may things become better in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You want to say, Pastor, I need Jesus in my life. Without Jesus, things will not change for the better. But today, I come to you. Please pray with me for Jesus to come into my life. You may be watching me and you need Jesus in your life. I want to pray with you. Say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, today I come to you just as I am. Please forgive me for all my sins. Help me, Lord, for my life to become better. Today I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. For the rest of my life, I will serve him and I'll follow him. In Jesus' mighty name, let everybody say amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.